June 22nd, 2010, melting titanium number 63. So 30 minutes of ion, talking about the isotope, one of the first times in 2010.
Isotope, any of two or more species of atoms of a chemical element with the same atomic number and nearly identical chemical behavior, but with differing atomic mass or mass number and different physical properties. But what is the aspect that makes them different, Ion?
Well, that's why they call them an acetope. It's not an isotope, it's an acetope. An acetope at all. That's the new birth control, no acetol. No. The dynamic is that it's something that's different, but it's the same. It is the same. Everything about it is the same, except for the mass adjustment. There has to be an isotope reference of it. It would be like you divide sugars into different types of elements. But if the same sugar was the same, then it would be a sugar isotope.
What creates that little bit of mass difference?
Duality. Multiples of you. Because how can you know there's multiples of you if they're all clones? Because they could call it a clone with a different atomic number. But they don't. An isotope is the same thing, but a little bit different. It is a variegation.
It's not a different atomic number. It's just
atomic weight.
Weight, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that is the atomic number, but they keep the same atomic number.
Keep the same atomic number, yeah.
But that's how you tell the atomic weight is the atomic number, is it not?
Differing atomic mass or mass number. So it must be. No, they keep the same atomic number.
Yes, but they have a different mass.
But what creates the addition of that extra bit of mass?
No, it's not necessarily an addition.
Oh, yeah.
It's a variegation. Some are smaller.
And what creates the differing atomic mass?
We'll answer it this way. So if you have multi-U's, how could you tell which one is which? Well, because it would be a variegation, or let's use a different word. It would be the way that you could tell the difference between one of the many U's. There's a Connie, and then there's the isotope of Connie. And that's how you tell the difference.
No, that doesn't say anything.
Well, okay, then ask it a different way.
Yeah, let me ask some questions. It says, date 1913, etymology is, that's like isometric. Iso means similar, usually. So it's topos, place, similar place. Any of two or more species of atoms. There are species of atoms, or just meaning there are different kinds of atoms because there are different molecules that result.
They're just saying species instead of isotope.
A type.
Different types of atoms, meaning there is hydrogen atom, the chlorine atom. That's what they mean by that.
But they're giving reference to different kinds of hydrogen atoms, that they're both hydrogens, but they're a little bit different.
Oh, okay. They're talking about the differences within an atom.
Yeah. That's why one would be an isotope version, and one would be just the element.
It's a chemical element made up of atoms, so that the...
No. We're talking about a molecule of hydrogen. One.
It's a molecule, so atoms make up molecules. Okay. Any of two or more with the same atomic number and nearly identical chemical behavior, but with differing atomic mass or mass number, which you were saying are pretty well the same, the mass and the mass number.
Well, in regular element, if it's not an isotope, then yes, the atomic number and the atomic weight would be the same.
If it's not an isotope.
Correct.
Okay, but in other words, atoms of hydrogen are all the same. That's what they're saying. But
yes,
these ones have a different one. How did they notice this? Through microscopes?
Easy. No. They didn't do it. They didn't do it through microscope. This is your science. This is science.
Mm.
They found that there weren't multi kinds of hydrogen, so they named it isotope because they couldn't explain. And Carolyn was right, because typically they talk about as far as the radiation values, the radial isotopes, those things that are radioactive are typically an isotoped version of an element. Well, that's what she was giving reference to, and she was correct. There was nothing incorrect at all with that. But the point is that every element has a capacity potential for isotope.
Oh, here they say in Wikipedia that they have different number of neutrons.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the differential between
them? That's the only way they can tell. But see, they can't pick out neutrons in a cell to speak of.
You mean they can't see them?
With any certainty.
I always felt that I could get a better handle of this if I could get a day or two in a lab and just look through these instruments to see what they experience. I've never seen what they see. So
most of them haven't either, Bob.
Really? They just have these things that can see and they don't know what they're seeing.
They put it on a blackboard and make a formula and say E equals MC squared. See, I told you.
It's nutty how they... Okay, but having the microscope, they do show pictures in Life magazine of things they photograph under the microscope. They're supposed to know something. Okay, so you're saying they didn't even see the neutrons.
Well, they can't pinpoint them consistently. That's ethereal. It's very ethereal.
Because it is all ethereal.
It is all ethereal. And so we're trying to make it a practical. And the practicality of it is that everything is an isotope.
You said you. Ion's trying to make it practical.
Well, no, they're trying to make it practical.
Yeah, they're trying to... The visual bias are trying to make it a billiard ball, and we now know this, and we can cure every genetic disorder with this one billiard ball.
Every time we hit this billiard ball, this way it goes in the corner pocket, every single time without fail or exception. And they hit it at the same angle, and sometimes it goes in the other pocket. And they're going, oh, that must be an isotope, because if you hit it just like we always did it, it didn't go in the corner pocket, it went in the side pocket. So every time it goes in the side pocket, then that's an isotope.
That means the one they hit, they say, well, that's an atom, but it's not the same atom, it's a different one. So we call that an isotope.
Yes, it must have a different neutron angled point that makes it an isotope.
So they say that's an isotope. They're always making it difficult. Why don't they say that's a different hydrogen?
Because then the periodic scale would be bigger than you could put on a piece of paper.
Oh, there you go. If you had a dozen isotopes for each element, but you named them all different things.
No, I didn't mean that. I'm just saying the word isotope, they should say it's isotopical. To say...
They do.
Well, they mean that. An isotope is an adverb. Say it's a noun. Just to get the language, Kim, there's something different. That's an isotope. They don't even say that's a hydrogen isotope. They give us a clue what they mean and say that's an isotope.
Right. Because it can affect every element has an isotope. Some they found, some they haven't. All do.
They don't know. Yeah. They cannot say that they've noticed that all elements have isotopical effect.
And that was the aha moment that we had today.
For Carolyn, to have to realize all of them.
Well, and that also explains duality and multi-use.
Now, that's the next point. You notice that some atoms don't behave the same. Why would you decide that is indicative of the fact that there are other worlds or multiples of me?
Because if hydrogen is hydrogen at the atomic level, then hydrogen always has to be hydrogen. But if hydrogen sometimes doesn't react the way hydrogen does, then it's not a dehydrogen or an unhydrogen. It's a different type of hydrogen. But yet it's still hydrogen.
So they take that fact, and because... they've concluded all kinds of other stuff from us based on their observations of the hydrogen element, then they are describing us, and they cannot say, okay, that means if there's a hydrogen, there can be another one. That means that they don't think this way, but it means, it should mean, that means there can be different versions of things, two of everything, so to speak.
Or more than two.
More than two. And they don't include that thinking because they just can't box that in.
Exactly. And then they limit it to even down to certain points that they have identified, just a handful, but then you start getting down into like carbon. Find us some carbon isotopes.
You say they're looking for them?
Well,
yeah, they have three so far.
So far.
They said adding in the radioactive nuclides, they're having another designation of isotopes and calling them nuclides that have been created artificially. There are more than 3,100 currently known nuclides.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know the instrument they use to detect a difference from one hydrogen atom to another.
We have no idea. I think they did their postgraduate studies at MSU.
No, but let's say we understand the fraud, but what is their alibi? Do they say they can measure radioactivity and they notice the radio emissions are different?
No, they keep hitting the same ball and it keeps going in different pockets and they don't know why, and so therefore they're naming it a different isotope.
And so they make up the theory that it's different neutrons, which they can't see.
They could, but they haven't. And see that they just keep going and keep going and keep going based on these levels or degrees of premise, some correct, some false. But what they do is they make that be the standard or by which the rule is judged by, and that doesn't work. We don't mind the words because the human creators have named it. But, Carolyn, what do they use to individually...
mass spectrometers, which separate gas molecules according to their mass.
So therefore, the only thing that can have an isotope is a gas, or each element has to be in a gaseous form?
Yeah, I don't know.
So you named the instrument that they measure this with, Carol.
Right. This is what I was getting at. We therefore do not measure the concentration of the isotope directly, but we compare the concentration of the isotope in a sample and in a standard material. The results of such comparisons are given in what we call a delta notation for difference in measurement between standard and sample. So they're just looking at the tactility between the two.
What instrument do they claim to look through?
Mass spectrometer.
And it's probably not measuring what they're saying it's measuring, but it does indicate some response or some measurement.
It's just measuring that it's not the same as the last one.
Do they see the difference, or do they get some little meter
thing? It's a mass.
A little meter wiggles differently or something.
Right.
I always go back to why I was repulsed by science. Is that because I was the grammarian? I said, these guys won't even question anything.
Everything is by faith.
Yeah, it is actually a religious nonsense.
But science says there is no faith. Every articulation that they come up with, that's why we correctly said the only thing science can do is they create by default. You let science get a hold of it, and if they can explain it away, then it doesn't exist. But if they can't explain it, then that's a creation.
They're allowing it to be created, not by them, but by other stupid people, only after they can't stop it. Okay, so I come up with a question. What created this impulse? Is it just normal stubbornness and we have technologies? No, all right. We have last 5 years, we got a bunch of things that were invented. So the normal, stubborn, repressive nature of many humans, they just applied it to technology.
Okay, and the whole shift is they're coming into their power, so they're getting better and better and better at creation. But there's so much creation now that they're even confounded by what's being created.
Because they are operating on the traditional meme of disproving everything, and now they're actually getting very creative, and they can't take it.
That's exactly right. Their very own theorems are confounding their place of resilience to validate a-knowing.
A-knowing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, resilience is a good quality. You be able to adapt to what's happening.
Or could at least tell the difference.
But their rules, their theorems, and because they attach to that, they cannot take advantage of the fun they're actually experiencing.
Here's something even better. Once they identify an isotope, they have a very difficult time re-identifying the same isotope.
They can't find it again.
Well, they can't count or gauge accurately the half-life of an isotope. So when they go to look again, the half-life is expired and it's gone.
Half-life is...
the time it takes for half of it to be gone.
The time it takes for half to be gone, then when there's two halves, it's gone.
No, it keeps dividing by half, by half, by half. So there's always going to be an infinitesimal amount that never is gone.
So the half-life, actually the concept, proves immortality. You should be full life, right, Ian?
That's exactly that. That's been our point. But if we had started with that, you know.
Can we say that the printing press, the abstracting and schizophrenic effect of the printing book really got everybody all...
It activated completely the seat of power from the Ark of the Covenant back to the individual human creators.
No, I'm saying the printing press, I just confused humans' minds.
And that confusion is what forced you into your place of power.
Now, McLuhan did say that. We went through visual bias, but that was the launching pad to the electric tactility, so...
It's what Steve is having issue with. He is confounded because his intelligent mind says you can't do what Ion says you do. And yet, it's being real in his life, but it's screwing with him a bit because he's like, well, crap, you know?
Well, here, let me tell you this. Steve was an athlete, and he studied in sport. Now, in the lingo of that period, the brighter kids considered the dumb guys to be the jocks. And so Steve probably has a good mind for discipline, physical exertion, like playing golf or football, whatever he did. But that's not the kind of mind that needs to deal with the flexibility of engagement with people. It's like you're almost a mechanical robot. If that mechanical robot, due to his athletic training, which is rigid to laws, that he intellectually doesn't even know or falsely founded, because he believes in the laws because he applied those laws to his own discipline. Did you see how the athletic strain himself makes him that way?
Yes, but actually what that really did was it magnified his capacity or capitulation to create, and his body responded in kind. But if you told Steve that, he wouldn't have it because, no, you got to go to the gym, you got to work out, you got to do 3 reps. 5 times a day, and that's how you do it. No other dynamic is appropriate.
You're saying he capitulated the natural ability to create and evoke.
And used that as the excuse of how the law allowed things to come into his reality.
Yeah, he got some benefits according to his temperament and personality from following the discipline route. But now that he's older, it's not serving these other things that he's being forced to be creative with.
Well, his power is being activated, and he's like, well, crap, this goes against everything I know to be. So therefore, I have wasted my life so far getting all the rules and regulations down right, when any jackleg can walk in and juice up and be a master athlete and doesn't have to do anything.
He's worrying about the water under the bridge and saying, wait a minute, I've got eternity to enjoy myself. He's still regretting.
And their water's going faster than my water, and they didn't pay the price.
So he was always puzzled. He showed up in my life in October of 2004, and I knew he was a straight guy who, for somehow, was attracted to something that was not natural to him, which was me. And so he's been puzzled by my situation ever since, made into a conundrum. But he likes to be around it. He enjoys the energy of it or something. So he likes to remain involved by doing things for us.
Of course. And you do appreciate and acknowledge his gift, because it's a marvelous gift.
He can do all that stuff, you know. So it's almost like his stodgy, stick-to-it athletic mind can take the time to do the software programming that I would never allow myself to do, to detailed work to make a computer program.
And yet knows how to answer your questions the simplest way, so you don't ask a million questions.
Yeah.
Says, no, we're going to do this so Bob gets it.
Right, no, he's been grilled several times, and he waits it out, and then he makes it simple. But with him, it's usually, he doesn't know how to get back to the basics. He'll always start to explain, and I have to say, no, to get it further back to what day is this, what color is it, you know. He thinks I know some things. I don't know nothing, so he always has to go further back and explain.
No. You know that everything has the ability and capacity to be another thing.
The guys who make things can't think that way, because they got to perform. They got to make things, yeah. I never made anything, so to speak, because I'm just contemplating the doubleness all the time. I would agree with that.
That's not a problem. But now, when you start landing it into your knowing place, that's okay too, because you can always gauge the two conversations. Is a perfect example of what Carolyn's talking about with isotopes. Let's say you have, here it is, this is what I know. And Bob says, okay, you know that? Okay, you know that. Okay, great. Now what about when that thing that you know is a bit different than what you know? That still is known, but it would be known as an isotope.
And I'm looking at two hands. The two-ness, the duality count, is everywhere in nature.
Of course.
You don't have to look at what the microscope shows you. It's right there in your media environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviousness is what the less than disconnected mind ignores. So I have to make it one thing. Now, what struck me with the isotope was I never knew really what it was, but Zappa used to use the word isotope and put it in interesting questions. When Simon would ask him, what do these songs mean, he'd say, well, that's an isotope, which, you know, on the surface, like, what's an isotope got to do with a musical situation? But anyways, he would use physical models. Now, what we're learning about the isotope is just by looking at the word, we know more than the students. They're just learning the words in universities now and then thinking it means something and knowing how to make it into formula, and they do well and get their graduate papers.
Well, hypothesis. They don't even get it to the formula. See, they have to form it in a hypothesis, but they never get the opportunity to squeeze the limit.
You're right. They have to perform. They have to write stuff pretty quickly.
That's exactly right, and they can't understand it or know it. That's not their place.
That's why, even though I didn't go to university or know anything, I did stick with finding out slowly everything that was going on by pursuing. I remained a student all the time. Dropped in university courses.
Learned how to spell the big words and everything.
Yeah. The point is, it didn't stop. When you get to be a student, you make effort for a while, and then you stop. You graduate. Then you go work, and then you stop at your workplace, and you work within that. It's just ongoing stoppingness that makes you, quote, stupid. Temporarily stupid. I like the way Ion says, we can't use the word stupid, Kevin. That's the issue going on the forum. So the next point is that if you have this doubleness in nature, Carol,
mm-hmm.
It's showing there's doubleness in human creation and human reality, the two conversations. So humans project the doubleness everywhere in the nature that we made.
Okay, now hold on, Bob. You hit a good place here. If you hadn't screwed the pooch yet, you're fixing to. All right. Because there is duality in all things, you concur that that is the position at hand, correct?
And then I would say, why is there duality? We don't have to go into it, but that's an interesting question. Why has there always been duality?
Exactly.
Would that relate to triangulation?
It could help with triangulation, but now if it confuses you and confounds you...
No, I just want to... triangulation comes out of dealing with duality.
It does, because that's how you notice where you are. You have to notice where you're not.
Hey, you get that, Carol? If there's duality all the time, and you know both realities, then you don't know which one's more important or whatever, so you're just stuck with the two. But a third position might create the ratios of positioning yourself every now and then.
To help decide. Okay.
Between, for the moment, which duality has prominence over the other duality.
And that's a preference. Neither is wrong
or
incorrect, but it's the preference at the moment. But now, here you go, Bob. Get your pooch ready. We're fixing to screw the pooch. If just like in atomic matter, atoms that are sometimes as isotope, the same but a bit different, well, the same way in your individual humanness, Bob, there's duality. We've concurred with that. But the point is with each element of duality, there is, guess what, also duality.
Then it goes towards the infinite?
Well, everything is.
So you're saying there's duality within the duality?
Yeah, but you see, that'll screw you up. If you ain't got duality, multi-layers of duality, it's tough.
Well, I got duality a year ago, and then Ian said there's more than duality, as many of you. I got that too, so I pretty well can handle that.
Yes, of course.
We're talking about the general person. Got to handle the duality first.
Got to get duality first before you can get multi-factions of duality.
That separates the flexible, relaxed, and loud people from the rigid, because most people are rigid because culture makes them focus on one side. And duality to consider that, that you'd almost have to be a genius within the culture to do that. That's the way it seems.
And then be able to sift that into multiple equations of duality.
So you're saying that there is many things because there's duality, everything has duality, so that duality has duality, and then that duality, I mean, it's just logical. There has to be infinite duality, so there's infinite things, right? That's the point. The basic point.
Possibilities, yes. Now, do you remember the big board from Flash Forward where they would run a line all the way through and each one was, it happened this way or this way. And from there, it happened this way or this way. So it just made this huge spider web before it was all over with because of each step of the way. And like the man on the mountainside, he's like, I've done this a million times and every time I get killed right here.
Yeah.
Really pissing me off, and I keep doing it, I keep doing it, I keep doing it, and I always die right here. Well, that's the point where you limit an isotope experience to where it can only replicate itself. And that's when you get what Carolyn was talking about. That's where you get hung.
All right, so he got hung up on limiting, trying to make a point or find out how to overcome it. And that always then duped him, a nemesis, of ending up in the same faulty position of being killed. Is that what you're saying?
It couldn't help but.
Because he made the effort to get emphatic about it and make a point out of the flow of duality.
Good.
He kept trying to solve a problem he imagined he had. And if you do try to solve the problem you imagine you have, you will end up at the same point every time. Probably the writers didn't understand that, so they didn't know how to end that with even making that point. They certainly left it loose, didn't they, at the end of the show, because they didn't know what they were doing.
Exactly. And they had to, because they really didn't have any other choice.
Yeah. It's almost like, okay, if there's two of me and there's parallel worlds, then anything that physics and sociology or scientific endeavor discovers, there should be evidence of that already. There might be another thing that's in nature that you haven't noticed before, that when it comes up, and you notice that it's about difference, then you say, oh, that's more proof that there's more than one. It's always going to be a reflection that there's more than one.
Yes.
See, that's the funny thing about knowledge. It tries to make a stable place between the duality, tries to freeze the tactility. And you could say it's caused by writing or human stubbornness, so that's what I'm interested in. We don't know why humans want to become disconnected. Right, that's a mystery from non-physical's point of view.
Well, okay, we'll give you that one.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally you do say we don't understand why people do their strange thing.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. But we didn't want to make that be a standard, but we'll give it to you.
Okay, no, that's interesting. There's always new things happening. Humans come in here, and they're going to create, and they're going to get themselves in different rabbit holes and conundrums, and that is inevitable here.
It is, just as... Let's say you're reading something and you got the light on, and then the light goes out. That means you are powerless because you're not going to make whatever actions necessary to see, except screaming for Carolyn.
Right. Get the light bulb. Where are the light bulbs? How come we don't have any light bulbs?
The lights are gone.
Yeah, the electricity went out today, and I told Bob, and he just said,
I'll live with it.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah, it was like when I sat down there with no fan, I said, it's getting a little warm here. They said, let's enjoy this, see what happens. How much can I take of this? Mm-hmm. And damn it, they interrupted the experiment within an hour and started the fan. I never got to find out. But I was just thinking, Carolyn, that the reason I don't do anything, something happens, the light breaks. I have a duality response. I'll do half of an effort. I'll ask Carol whether there's a light bulb, but the other half is don't do anything. So I do both always at the same time. So it's like a pair, it's sort of half frozen. Right, Naya?
And as you are gently, kindly demanding that someone come make it straight for you.
If they don't do it, I kind of accept it. I don't have a tantrum about it, you know. Don't beat
me up. No, wait, that's right. Yeah. Because
I'm accepting the other side of it. Well, maybe
But the same point is, typically you'll make another run at it to make sure.
That there's no way. Yeah. Okay. Are we stuck with this? Yeah. We put the plug in. It doesn't work. That's it.
Yeah, we're stuck for now.
But see, here's the thing. It has served me well over the long run to emphasize the duality of a situation. rather than end up stuck in a job and defending it, which is what so many people do, right? They celebrate their limitedness.
Yeah, good.
So that's what pisses Steve off. He made an effort to do something. He did some action, and it didn't lead anywhere, and he's looking around and he sees a bunch of people didn't make an action, and they actually got way more produced.
Good.
What's another element in physics, like the isotope, that points to duality that we haven't thought of or encountered?
With cookies, if you have a certain dough that tastes a certain way, then you change and make different cutters, make all of them different sizes. Mm-hmm. Each time you do that, you remove a bit of the allure of, you know, eating fat testicles or mouse.
You remove the allure by making so many different shapes?
You do, yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting point, Carol. Mm-hmm. So that we can enjoy our senses and specialize in the senses, we make things archetypal or make one thing way better than something else. They're focusing on it.
I guess that would be archetypally.
And so to intensify our sense life and move it out of the tactile drift, which is what McLuhan says, you have acoustic bias, overemphasize the ear, overemphasize the eye, overemphasize the kinetic. You miss the tactile relaxed state of tactile drift. To look for an intense experience, to counter the maybe lack you feel, but to look for an intense experience leads to having cuisine or culinary exaggerated things, or leads to strippers or pornography. All these extensions are concretizations that are limitations but necessary so that it becomes intense.
Very good.
Krishnamurti said, you know, the more pain you have, the more pleasure you require. If you're actually in the bliss state, you actually are feeling less. It's not a numb feeling, it's like an easy feeling. That's sort of like the old principle, the moderate way is the best, you know? But it's not a neutral position. It's not a numb position. It's some kind of an openness.
And that's what we were just fixing to clean up a little bit. Nothing wrong with your words, but it doesn't mean you have to consistently stay there.
You allow the intensities to happen, but you're not requiring them. They show up as surprise. Like, look at Sue Bone, what she wrote, Carol. Is it any wonder that you live in such a magical place where the entire universe conspires to surprise and delight you constantly? That's the bliss of Dobstown?
Yeah.
What does triangulation do in relation to the duality? Why is there triangulation? Why would you need to know where you are?
So you won't have to remember where you're going.
So it's a way of taking the pressure off your memory.
It's a way of eliminating the requirement called to remember.